Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast. Kangs, depending on the vernacular. Boy, oh boy, it's been wild to be a Bears fan right now. It's been just crazy, bro. People are dropping like flies. Like Franklin said, bodies, 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 bodies. Darnell Mooney hurt. Justin Fields hurt. Khalil Herbert hurt. Bojack hurt. Jaquan Brisker hurt. Kyler Gordon hurt. God damn. This is hard, man. We got the number two pick in NFL draft. And if all these dudes stay hurt, we might get the number one pick.
Man, we're gonna be close to it, bro.
Close to it.
We're at two right now.
Shit. It ain't looking any better, man.
Nah.
So we're gonna jump off into it because I know my man Nance had the timeline on fire today about Lou Getsy.
this ain't nothing personal. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, let me get y'all corrected here. I don't want to see Lou Getsy fired. I don't want to see him fired. However, I do want him to adjust his approach when it comes to the fourth quarter. And when I say that, you know, it's just due to watching the last couple of losses that we took that were very winnable games. Outside of that Dallas Cowboys game, the Miami Dolphins game was very winnable. Fourth quarter, collapse. The Detroit Lions, fourth quarter, collapse. The Atlanta Falcons, fourth quarter, collapse. Rewind it to the second game of the season against the Green Bay Packers. You know, where we had it fourth and a nut hair at the goal line, and he decides to go shotgun three or four wide in that situation. And, you know, it's things of situational football, down and distance and situational football. The things that are really irritating to me is the fact of what I've seen. And I thought I was tripping at first, but I heard JT O'Sullivan say the same thing, and then I heard Trent Dilfer reiterate the same thing, and we're going to play both those clips as well. But it was the fact of the matter that when it comes down to it, it seems like he gets a couple group plays, right, that works. And when they work, he runs them into the fucking ground. And he doesn't look to build off of that with the read option stuff or the zone read stuff that we're doing. He didn't look to go zone read, play action pass off of that, you know, because the shit works and that's why you're running it. That's why the whole purpose of the West Coast system is so many things that you can build off of, from short quick hitters that'll develop into home run plays later on in the game. You build on that, right? But we don't build on it. We just keep running the same shit. And then when the fourth quarter rolls around, we're running the same shit, which at that point in time is very predictable. It's either a Justin Fields read option to the left, Justin Fields read option to the right, David Montgomery power to the right, power to the left, and an occasional drop back and, you know, try to hit a slant or catch the tight end. That shit's getting old. And defenses have been taking that away in the fourth quarter. And JT O'Sullivan touches on that, where he states that this shit is high school. Defenses are really running a base against what we're doing, and then in the fourth quarter, when the game is on the line, they switch it up, and then no adjustments are being made at that point. It's like he's a deer in headlights, and he don't know what to do. So, that was my whole point on Luke Getsy. I can go further in depth or further in detail about not getting players involved. That falls on the OC. learning how Justin Fields, his attributes and his abilities. Why did it take you 6 weeks to learn that? Because you had a whole offseason. You had an whole offseason to learn what Justin Fields was doing.
I don't think it took him 6 weeks to learn that, though, bro. I really don't.
Well, what I'm saying is that all the way up until the point till we got to the Patriots game, Justin Fields was looking mighty pedestrian. And we all know that because he wasn't being used properly. But he made the adjustment in the mini bye where we had the 10 games off after we lost to the... Oh, I'm sorry. The Washington Commanders game is another game that was winnable. And then they start taking what we wanted to do away, which was the read option. So
yeah, I see where you're coming from. I see your premise, right? Yeah. I understand where you're coming from. But I view it slightly differently, right? I view it as, okay, at the beginning of the season, they're doing what they thought would keep them in games. The defense was playing a certain way, and that allowed them to try to win games at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And it kept them involved in those games. Now, I said it weeks ago, back in, you know, in that early part of the season, even though they weren't putting up astronomical numbers, the offense was able to move the ball. I was fine with Getsy's game plan and what he was calling throughout that time because I felt like they were moving the ball consistently. There were games where they just did not capitalize in the red zone. There were games where you were 0 for 4 in the red zone and you come away with no points.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or you come away with a field goal or whatever, right? And those are games that we lost because of that.
Yes.
We also lost a game on the back of Velus Jones fumbling at the 3-yard line,
mm-hmm.
which gave the opposition their only touchdown of the game. The defense had held. Who was that? The Giants.
We actually lost another game where he.
Yeah, it was two games.
Where he fumbled. Yeah, and it wasn't a 3-yard line, but yeah, we had the game in wrap. Yeah, he blew it. Yeah,
that. Yeah, the Washington game, he blew.
Yeah, the Washington game, he blew. Yeah.
So, you take that back. That was the Washington game. It wasn't the Giants game. It was the Washington game.
But he dropped one in the Giants game, too.
Right. Yeah, I'm saying where they got their only touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
That was Washington.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So, you know, they didn't put up astronomical numbers, but the game plan kept them in the game, and they were leaning heavily on that defense, right? So, I get what they were doing. He made the adjustment. And started doing this run, you know, running Justin Fields and the offense took off.
Yeah.
30 points per game, right? That's what they've been averaging, right? So you're putting up consistently, even this past week, not this past week, but the last game Justin played,
Atlanta.
Put up 24 against Atlanta, right? So, you know, you look at the game and what they were doing, what he's doing is working. And to me, I've always said the sign of a good offensive coordinator, in my opinion, is the ability to change your philosophy. So that means you do this well, but do you do that and that's all you do? And I think that's what you're getting at, right? In the fourth quarter, he's not changing things up.
Right.
But at this, you know, and I get that. I get what you're saying. But until they stop me, I'm not going to stop doing what they want to stop, right?
Right.
Until they stop me. And one could argue that they haven't been stopped because some of the games that we lost where we scored 30 points, we had guys dropping touchdowns that would have won the game. Darnell Mooney, right? What's my man's name? What's the other guy's name that dropped it over there?
Oh, so Dante Pettis.
Dante Pettis and another dude. I forgot his
name. Oh, you're talking...
But the Bayless dropped one, too.
It wasn't Pringle. His ass ain't played.
No, not Pringle.
It was...
He called one for Simeon, though.
Yeah.
But yeah,
he sure did. Ain't that
And those are fourth-quarter plays. So, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, okay, they don't know how to win. This is a young team that doesn't understand how to win. That's the way I look at it. You're looking at it like, well, guess he needs to change some things up. And I'm saying what he's doing seems to be working to me. Now, you do have some plays. We're going against a defense that has a smart defensive coordinator and they have defensive, you know, players on the other side that are smart, intelligent football players. So you're going to win some battles, you're going to lose some. But at the end of the day, I feel like what he's done up to this point has been sufficient. And he showed a wide play call and a desire to change. It's nothing like Nagy, where Nagy was, you know, yeah, I know you can't do this, but do it anyway.
Yeah, no. Nagy didn't run a scheme that fits his play. We all know that. He would not have changed changed the offense the way the guess he has, like running user adjusted field design. He wouldn't have done it. He'd have been dropping back, five step, seven step drops, full field progressions.
He got his head beat in the whole
Yeah, like he wouldn't have cared, bro. And then what he would have said, he like, oh, well, Justin can't run my offense. I need a new quarterback. we already know how that would have worked. He wouldn't have moved the pocket. He wouldn't have done bootlegs. He wouldn't have been run heavy. He would have kept doing the same dumb shit.
And another thing that I wanted to touch on with Getsy is the fact that, again, is it him and really, you know, calling the plays, or is it just the fact that Justin Fields is a god amongst mortal men, you know, where if it ain't working, he's ad-libbing out there, and he's just better than everybody, you know, at this point, to where it's making Getsy look like, damn, dog, you a genius, when really it's just Justin Fields' freakish athletic ability. We don't know, but, you know, we don't know. But my issue is that changing up in the fourth quarter, making your adjustments, and getting players involved. And, you know, again, like I stated earlier, when everybody was like, oh, well, this is a very complex offense. No, the fuck it's not. It's the West Coast offense. There's nothing complex about it. It's very simple. You know, anybody that been a part of a West Coast offense know it's simple as hell. And everything builds off one play. But I'm going to play this excerpt, this part of...
Before you do it, let me make one point real quick. And I just draw the correlation because, you know, I looked at the Philadelphia game yesterday, and you look at Jalen Hurts and what he's doing, and he's in conversation for MVP of the league, right? And you look at his numbers, 12 of 24, I think it was, 16 to 24 or something like that, for 153 yards passing, two touchdowns, 157 rushing, and one touchdown. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, that's what Justin's been doing over the course of the last five or six games, right? But the perception is so much different, because the perception Justin's looked at, oh, he can't throw the ball. That's the nonsense you hear, the goober stuff that you hear over and over and over.
That was a malbreeding retard. No disrespect to retards. These are malbreeders, bro. Like, I don't even pay attention to these people. These people are imbeciles, dude. These are primitive.
These are
beings.
They're like fossils. Like, like they still coming out the ocean. They haven't developed into beings yet.
Shout out to my man King Mac. King Mac called them football illiterate, right?
Peasants. Meaning like peasants.
Right. But the reason I draw that correlation is because, or comparison, is because it gives you an idea of how far the bottom of the barrel is to the top, to the cream at the top. You got a team that's 10-1, and they're able to win with that quarterback playing that way because of other areas of the football.
I was going to say, you know what they got? They have a hell of an offense. They have the best offensive line in the NFL.
The trenches, all of that stuff.
Those behind the best offensive line in the NFL.
And the defensive line is good, too.
Yeah.
See? So when you put them in that type of situation, Justin is doing this because he has to do it every single play, right? It's cool to be freaky in the open field and get yardage and do that stuff, right? And Jalen Hurts is a wizard at doing it. Lamar Jackson, good at doing it. Great at doing it. Justin Fields, outstanding at doing it. But he has to do it every single play.
Absolutely.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
if he
has
an offensive line instead of this makeshift stuff that he has in front of him, then he can do it when he wants to, right?
Right.
And that's when you'll really see his numbers take off. His numbers are going to be better than Jalen Hurts.
Absolutely.
Because he's going to throw for 250 yards and give you 100 yards rushing. He's going to throw for 300 because he can do that consistently if you want him to. But you just got to have some protection in order to do it. I'll let you play that excerpt, man. My bad.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
But it's not a far gap from 10-1 to where we are.
No, it's not at all.
No.
No, it's not at all.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't that big of a gap. It's the NFL, people.
Facts. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and play this excerpt from, the hell is his name? From the Buccaneers, Trent Dilfer, right? This is what Trent Dilfer had to say in regards to, it was on, I want to say it was on Hogan John's.
670.
Yeah, and, you know, it was basically what he wanted to state about Getsy getting players involved, because again, we're in week four and we just now seeing, you know what I'm saying, some trickle down effects of Chase Claypool getting involved in offense when I felt he should have been incorporated real early. So for those who are on the, you know, on Twitter, like, hey, you know, it's not backyard football, bro. First off, who the fuck are you talking to? Okay, number one, look, we're not finna go there about, you know, different complex of offenses and everything else. I think, you know, I played a higher level than most of you were saying this isn't backyard football, so I know what the hell I'm talking about. But however, this West Coast offense is not hard at all, at all. So I'm gonna let Trent Dilfer go ahead, but this is another issue that I have with Getsy. Go ahead and roll that.
I think it's 5 catches in 3 games. But the apologist or the explanation is it takes a long time for a receiver to learn an offense and come over midstream.
Not this offense. Listen, I could learn this offense in 24 hours.
Okay.
The passing game.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Like, should we be concerned that if you can learn it in 24 hours, let's say you're of above average football intelligence, like Claypool should have it down at this point? He should be more involved than he's been.
Yes, and I like Pringle as a blocker.
They're all blockers. St. Brown's a blocker.
St. Brown, yeah. One thing you're not going to be able to attract anybody. You're going to have to draft them. Because you're not going to get a free agent when you're tilted this one direction run pass. Because they all want to go where they're going to get fed the rock and make Pro Bowls and get their incentives, as they should. You won't be able to sell the quarterback is going to be a great player, because any agent and free agent is going to be like, no, the proof's in the pudding. You guys ran it 66% of the time. I ain't going there. I didn't sign up to be a tight end, right? So
yeah,
you're going to have that issue. And yeah, I think, you know, I don't know what you have in Claypool because you don't throw it enough. Right. And then the ones you're really trying to throw, like, and I don't blame him. I design every play for Mooney as well. I think the kid's special. I think he's the next McLaurin. You know what I mean? The kid at Washington that came out of nowhere has become one of the best players in the league. I think Mooney could be as good as anybody. Komet's awesome. Like we saw the one hand catch, by the way, that's the best catch of the year. That's better. I think it's better than the Jefferson catch. Because how he got hit in the hip and still held on to it. Not better than Jefferson, but equal to Jefferson's catch. So you have two really good players. Why not try to develop another one? The backs are good receivers. That's another thing. We're talking about throwing the ball. You can throw the ball to backs. Like, there's no rule against, you know, Bill Walsh did a pretty good job throwing the ball to Roger Craig 100 times a year. Like, you can get the ball out quick and throw the ball to the back. Like, there's a lot of things you can do in the passing game that basically are runs that protect a bad offensive line. So, again, I don't want to be the one that's just pouring on Getsy. I think he's really good. I think he's going to be phenomenal. But at some point, the head coach has to say, bro, just quit worrying about all these design runs. Go up there on a Monday and be like, I want to see triple the catalog in passing. I want to see it thrown twice as much in practice, and I want more than 30 throws in the game. And we'll deal with the rest.
All right, now that was on Parkins and Spiegel. Excuse me, I most spoke and said that was Holge and Johns. That was the one with JT O'Sullivan that we'll play in a minute. But, you know, getting back to that, it was just the fact of the matter. Again, you have to get these players incorporated in the offense. There are things that you can do to be extension of the run game. Like, just like he said, this offense isn't complex, folks. It's not as hard as what y'all trying to make it out to be. It's not. It's really not. I promise you it's not. It's simple concept reads that are built off a route tree, a simple route tree. That's all it is. And this is where I'm getting on Getsy at, because everybody wants to think, and it's the same thing as he said, I'm not bagging on him. It's just what I see. And again, Dan opened my eyes to it last year, actually a couple years ago. What was that? Nagy's the year before Nagy was fired, right, Dan? Okay, yeah, and then he opened my eyes to it when he said, Nagy's not doing anything with the easy. He's not setting up what would you used to always say? He's not setting up the easy play for the big play.
Right.
And that is the same thing that I'm trying to get out of Luke Getsy. Set up the easy shit. The quick passes to the backside of the backfield. The quick hitters to the wide receivers, whatever, whatnot. Then develop and go longer. There are things that you can do to be extension of the run game and the passing game to help out a struggling offensive line. That are the things that I don't see. And he said, again, you're lining up and you're running it too fucking much. you're becoming one-dimensional to where defenses is like, okay, this is what you're going to do, which usually, again, the fourth quarter, and they shut it down. And then he's sitting there looking like, well, fuck it, I'm going to keep calling it. Because, I mean, shit, I don't have anything else in my bag. This is basically what we come in here with. It's like the Lovie Smith syndrome. We run, we get off the bus running. Well, they got fucking 9 men in a box. What are you going to do? We still going to run the ball. Then wonder why your ass ain't getting the first down. I'm not understanding that. But I digress. Moving on, because it's like beating a dead horse at this point. But no, moving on.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying with that. That makes sense. And Trent Dilfer made some sense with what he was talking about. There's a, you know, a couple weeks ago on our podcast, I said the same thing. Like, what you see in the offense right now with the running and the running and the running, it should morph into something else.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I get that portion of it. I get that part of it. I get that it should morph. It should take on a new identity. You should still incorporate that to keep defenses honest.
Yes.
But at the same time, you should morph it into him being able to pass the ball, getting them quick outs, keeping people honest and making them – a defense, if they can key on one thing, that's a problem,
yes.
Right? And I've said this before too, and I think all of us have said it. We've echoed this. You want to be able to attack all portions of the field.
Hold up. Say that shit one more time.
It's true.
One more game.
Say that one more time, Dan. So they just so they can understand, because they seem to think that this running shit is the end all be all. Like, oh my God, we on to something with Getsy here with this run game. No. Right. Say it one more time, Dan.
The run game is pretty. It's nice. It's cool. We're making headway with it. But it should morph into something else, because you want to be able to attack all areas of the football field.
Preach.
Not just one area.
Preach.
Not just one area.
So preach.
That's the biggest thing. They got to be able to attack different areas of the football field, downfield, midfield, the seams, you know, the outs. You got to be able to hit all of those, make them cover everything. And then the more that they have to cover everything, the more spread out they are, then their zone doesn't work as well. Then they switch to man, and now you got guys who can beat man coverage and Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool. You know what I mean? So you have that situation
exactly.
Where they have to be honest with them.
And this is where he has to make the adjustments in the fourth fucking quarter, folks.
I hear you.
All I've been saying.
But that shit ain't gonna happen this year.
No, not with everybody hurt now.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. That's not going to happen this
year.
He'd
be lucky. But lucky if he comes back the last two games and play just to
Justice not
play.
Coming back. They shutting him down the rest of the year. I don't see him coming back. I don't see the benefit of it. I don't. With everybody out, it'd just be him out there running.
It's basically what he's doing now.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So it's no point. But to reiterate what me, Dan, and Roy have been saying, and I want you to understand, we don't want to see Getsy fired. We want to see him make improvements. We want to see him make adjustments, okay? Right. But we're not going to sit here and blow smoke up his ass like, oh, we get it. Okay, we scoring 30 points a game, but they still lost us, folks. At the end of the day, I don't give a fuck if you lost by one or you lost by 40. It still counts as one loss, does it not? Yeah. So at the end of the day, I want to see this stuff turn into W's because, again, our last 3-4 losses, we've had the opportunity with the ball in our hands to go in for the kill.
I hear you, but I got more smoke for the fucking defense, and I got way more.
Even
out of everything I thought with the pedigree of Matt Eberflus and Williams, right? They went to Indianapolis and they took a bunch of non-fucking name players. Darius was considered a reach. He turned out to be pretty damn good. Kenny Moore was a dude plucked off the practice squad. They didn't have DeForest Buckner yet. Okoro K was just some dude. I think they had Autry. He was probably one of the best. And they had, what's the one guy? The defensive tackle that's not, I can't think of his name.
I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about.
They have all-stars, bro, and they had like the number 12th ranked defense. And so I'm trying to sit here and think.
Is it Allen Williams?
You hired a defensive coordinator, Allen Williams, and this defense is like worse than the Mel Tucker era.
Yes.
Right? And so like as much as we're getting on the offense that's putting up 30, if you put this offense on the 2018, the 2019 Chicago Bears. This team going to the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah. 13 wins, bro. Yep. 13 wins.
They put up 30 points?
Yeah.
30 points.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, like they ain't going to the Super Bowl. They going at least the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And so, like, I just don't want to lose sight of that because some of the L's, bro, are on the defense. Like, you can't give up 35 points a game and expect to win. Yeah. Like, every now and then, you're going to have to win a shootout. I get it. It's the NFL. Some teams you're just not going to be able to stop. They're going to have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill just running all over the damn field, and then you can do. But God damn, man.
But and then
like, I want to finish this. I'll let you talk. Justin Fields got up to apologize for losing the game in Atlanta. And even Allen Williams said he was sad, bro. He said, I was sad and I had to stop him. Eddie Jackson was like, Justin Jones, I was like, I had to stop this dude from apologizing because we ain't handling our business. Mm-hmm. So I just don't want to lose track. Like, I get it. NFL is a new league and you got to outscore everybody, but you still got to play good defense, bro. Like, that shit was unacceptable. So I don't want to put too much heat on the offense when the defense ain't doing shit.
Oh, that's
defense is horrible. It's probably the worst defense in the NFL.
And that's a good point too, because nobody's going to be shut down in today's game, right? Most of the time, you're going to be able to get some traction on the offensive end because the rules are so slanted and bent for the offense's favor, right? Mm-hmm. So I get that portion of it. But the problem that I have, the biggest problem that I have with the Bears defense is that they can't get off the field on third downs. Mm-hmm. There are games that you go back and look at these games where the opposition is 8 for 9 on third downs conversions. You know, there was a drive like a last, you know, the last drive of the game in two of the games. One game there were 4 for 4 on third down conversions on that last drive. The other game they were 5 for 5 on third down conversions, and one of them was like a 3rd and 18. You can't get off the field on 3rd and 18. That's a major issue. That's major. So the defense, like Will said, we got to shore that up somehow. They got to be able to get off the field. When third down rolls around, be able to get up off the field. Don't give up the draws on third down. It don't make sense.
Third and longs, bro. They can...
Yeah. 3rd and 18, 3rd and 15. I mean, and it's just a conversion. I'm like, how do you convert 3rd and 18 and 3rd and 15?
That reminds me of Mel Tucker.
Same drive,
it would be like 3rd and 12, and the team would run a draw and pick up 18 yards. You'd be like, what the fuck? Like, so I ain't letting them off the hook. You can play that clip.
They run a draw on 3rd and 12. They're giving up and saying we're gonna punt the ball.
Yeah.
And we mess around and give up.
Didn't we have a quarterback sneak? Who was that team? We had the quarterback sneak. It was Miami. They called a quarterback sneak and he didn't score the touchdown.
And he ran for like 30 yards on that, bro.
Like, no, bro.
On a quarterback sneak on four, what was it, 3rd and 1?
Yeah.
Sneak, he gets through.
No, that was Dak. That was Cowboys, yards. Yeah.
That was the Cowboys, it was, yeah. Crazy, man. Crazy. Crazy.
Go ahead. I ain't want to let them off the hook. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're right. We got to hold everybody accountable.
I feel you. I wanted to play this last excerpt, which went back to what me and Dan was talking about. This here is on the Hogue and John's show, where we're talking about how Getsy has to stop being so one-dimensional. And we understand that the run game is, okay, that's great. We get it. But, you know, defense, this is the NFL. You know what I'm saying? These defensive coordinators get paid, too. And they start taking shit away. You have to start making adjustments. And things, adjustments that he can make, is things that he can use off of the read option, pass plays, things of that nature. Again, I'm glad I put these excerpts in here because me just talking on Twitter, y'all wouldn't understand where the hell I was coming from. Y'all tell me I'm crazy. Oh, man, we scored 30 points, this, that, and the third. And I'm glad that these professionals are telling y'all the same fucking thing that I've been saying the whole time on Twitter. Again, I don't hate Getsy. I don't want to see him fired. I just want to see him grow. I want to see him go to some coaching clinics, and I want him to be able to get a mentor to teach him how to call a fucking game and to make an adjustment in game in the fourth quarter. So here's JT O'Sullivan on, Hogue and Johns.
Like, by the end of it, you were thinking that they were doing a little bit too much zone read. Do you think that that was just a schematic thing for that week by how the Lions were playing it, or is it just they kind of have maybe overcorrected too much to leaning on the run because, as we all know, there's issues with the rest of the help around Justin?
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible for me to say unless I'm in those, you know, scout meetings and kind of understand what their plan is. But for me, I think when you rely on zone read, they're, you know, for the last 15 years, most defensive coordinators, maybe not in the league, but damn near every other level, will have a certain toolkit to be able to protect against zone read.
Facts.
And the thing about sprinkling in other runs is that it does make them defend and run fit things differently. I feel like sometimes when you run zone read, you're letting them off the hook a little bit. Now, like early on, that the first zone read, maybe even the first play of the game, early on in the game, the huge chunk down the left side, you know, that's when it looks easy. You know, that's like freshman football defense when they're going to play man and you just beat the edge defender and run for, you know, punt return left. Well, when they start gap exchanging, or even on the big run, you know, you guys might know, I don't necessarily know because I didn't look into it, but that might have been a called pull. You know, I didn't look like he was reading anybody. And so you can sprinkle in some elements of those things, but I just love the comprehensive element of power read, you know, running counter, running pin and pull, running zone read, and then slowly. And the other thing that I was going to touch on in the video that we really haven't seen yet is quarterback run play action. You know, you see it in the college game where you'll fake that run, step back and throw it. You know, there's no rules against that in the league. I think sometimes these guys are just so programmed with, hey, I'm a West Coast person, we're only going to run West Coast things, where you're slowly starting to see them evolve their run game package. Now you want to see the play action off of it to be able to take advantage of what that does to a defense.
Perfect. Everything that I was fucking trying to, he said everything I wanted to say. It's perfect. Those are the adjustments that needs to be made in the fourth quarter. I don't want to hear the fact that, oh, he's a first year. I don't give a fuck. He's a head coach. I mean, excuse me. He's an offensive coordinator. He's an NFL coach. Okay? NFL coach. Sean McVay, fucking, what's that fucking Shanahan dude out there in fucking San Francisco? Fucking, who the other bright mind in the NFL? All these bright minds is coming in. They have an understudy. It ain't like they coming off the street calling plays for the first time, folks. You know, and all these scenarios and what was going on. I don't know what the fuck was going on in Green Bay because, again, I think LaFleur was probably the guy calling the plays, and he just probably had two Matt Nagy's up under him, cheeseburger fetchers and shit, going to get, and one got the cheeseburgers, another one got the coffee. I don't know. But all I do know is this, that a lot of these bright minds that come into the NFL, this ain't their first time calling plays, right? And you got to put a game plan together and scheme off of what you do in order to build on what you do, because at some fucking point in time, they're going to take the shit away. Just make the adjustments. That's all I got to say about that.
Because I ain't done giving shit to the defense.
Go ahead.
So I want to give this. I just saw this tweet from at Lord Reeves on Twitter. He said the Bears defense over the past 5 weeks, 3.2 points allowed per drive, 32nd. Touchdowns allowed on 39.6% of drives, 32nd. 41 yards allowed per drive, 31st. 6.7 yards allowed per play, 32nd. 3.0% sack rate, 32nd. 77.2 completion rate, 31st.
Jesus. Ooh. Bottom of the league.
9.4 yards pass per attempt, 32nd. This is the Bears defense I've ever seen. It's kind of like, I'm just saying, I get your point, Bears, but it's really hard for me to really clown the offense when defense is putting up Tony Snell numbers. Remember the meme with Tony Snell had points, zero assists, zero turnovers, zero steals, zero blocks in 32 minutes. This is the Bears defense. I don't know who. I think the only people worth keeping on the defense right now is Justin Jones, Jack Sanborn, and Jackson and the rookies. Everybody else has to go. I think it's like five dudes you can keep and everybody else can go. They need to flip the entire defense. I'm dead serious. Maybe Adam Williams has to go too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ugly, man.
Remember, we like, have to say in the spaces, it's Alan Williams, because Flew's ain't calling the defense.
No, he's not.
He already said it at the beginning when he got hired. I'm going to let my coordinators call what they need to call, and if I'll step in if necessary. Yeah. I think the second half is where he comes in and steps in, because then shit gets shut down at that point.
Probably the adjustments. They sit down and get together. But it's hard for like I get it. I get what you're saying with the offense, man. But I can't get past that, because if that defense was half of what it was even good. Last
if
year.
If they were instead of ranking 32nd, if they were ranked 15, just halfway this, we would have won three or four of them games.
Yeah.
So
it's hard for me to I get it. But I can't get this out of my head. Like, they were getting targeted by Mike White. What the hell his name is.
Yeah.
In the rain.
These dudes were wide open.
Hey.
I never seen people so out of life. Like, you want to get your fix, play the Bears, bro. Like, Jordan Love, like, and it might be good. Jordan Love's gonna look like prime Mike Vick freaking Pat Mahomes next week. And it's gonna fool the Packers. They think, oh man, he's the next great Green Bay Packers quarterback. He's gonna carve the Bears up.
Hey, don't get me wrong. Again, like I said, I'm not bagging on the offense. I want Luke Getsy to make the proper adjustments in the fourth quarter. That's all. Because, again, as bad as the defense has been, and again, I'm not letting them off the hook, we still have opportunities to win. And in the end, we still have opportunities to win. As nasty and as ass as that defense been, we still have opportunities to win. And then it gets to the point where the last
but
what?
You can only say that, Nez, in a couple of games. Because like I said, I mentioned it earlier, there were games where we lost.
Yeah, because of the defense.
Dropped the touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You got guys where they got down the field, they were able to be in scoring position. And you got guys dropping touchdown passes.
Yeah, Jones, they need talent, man.
You know what I'm saying? So it's I get what you're saying about the offense. It's a lot that needs to be done there.
But it's a whole lot on that defense.
I think it's way the big defense. Yeah. That defense, though?
Yeah.
The offense, you can just say, add another receiver, and then you need to do some of that offensive line. But the defense, man, on every level. It's an issue. The defensive line, the interior defensive line, the edge rushers, the linebackers. Okay, like Jack Sanborn's a good middle linebacker.
Sanborn's a keeper.
You still need a will.
He a keeper.
Yeah, but you need a will. The will is still the position, so you need a will.
Yeah.
So you still need a will. That's a major position in this offense.
You need another corner, because God damn, if I see my man Vildor, if I see him get fucking torched one more time, dog. If I see him get towards one, well, like, why are you out here?
Because they got nobody.
They be having her have a sweet time.
Dylan Jones got cooked, and he was trying to make that.
Oh, my God, dude.
He was hoping on a prayer he tipped that pass.
Man, you see when what's my man from Ohio State ran that damn corner route?
Garrett Wilson.
When he ran that corner route and he was holding on for dear life, he like, get your little ass off me. And it was wide open, and I'm like, oh my God, dude. Like, the way he plays DB is like his feet is stuck in the ground and he's staring in the backfield as a motherfucker running past him. Then he turned around like, oh shit. Let me hurry up. By that time, it's too late, dog.
It's too late. They too fast in the NFL.
It's too late. Like, what are you looking at? You don't trust your keys. You don't trust your keys. You don't trust what's called. So you cheat and you look in the backfield and then you still get burned.
And we don't have the pass rush. Now, if you got the passing rim of the 2018 Bears,
yeah,
Amukamara shined that year because he knew that you only had so many seconds.
So he was jumping routes.
Yeah.
He was getting his ass torched sometimes. That too.
Team Higgs. You got 2 seconds. And he was just waiting. You don't have that, bro. The pass rush is not getting home. Who do you say was leading the team in sacks last week, Dan? Jaquan Brisker
with three.
He's still leading. He's still leading, by the
way.
He ain't even playing. Three, like, three sacks. That's your team leading.
Like, bro, they got to fix that defensive line. They need a pass rush. They need to fix both sides of the line. Immediately, no other positions need to be fixed besides the offensive and defensive line. Yeah, every resource the Chicago Bears have need to be poured into the offensive, defensive side of the line, side of the ball.
So my question to you both is this: because after this L we just took, that currently puts us in the number two spot. Now, we're not going full on draft prospect, no shit like that, because we're not NFL insiders or anything like that. But
yeah, I don't scout.
If we have the number two pick, right, and I'm pretty sure everybody's seen the national championship last year, you probably caught, and I know Dan probably watches him because he's down there in Georgia. If we have the number two pick, right, And let's say the Houston Texans, I think, is going to take him off the board. I'm just being honest. They're going to take him with the number one pick. But if he goes past that number one pick and you're the Bears, well, do you field calls for the number two pick and possibly turn that number two pick into two first rounders? Or do you take Jalen Carter? Huh?
Caleb coming off the board number one.
That's what I said. And people are like, no, the Texans are going to take. I said, nah, they're going to take Jalen Carter number one.
Is Caleb coming out this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Caleb who?
Williams.
He come out next year.
Is he coming out
next year? Yeah,
he come out next year. Him and, he'll be the top quarterback coming out next year.
Yeah, he'll be the top quarterback coming out this year, bro.
Yeah, he cold. I said he was cold-blooded when he was at Oklahoma. Right. But he cold-blooded. So
what is he? Is he a junior?
He's sophomore.
So I thought he was a junior.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do y'all do? You know what I'm saying? You sitting there, number two pick, and Jalen Carter is there. Or if he ain't there, you know, still, you got the number two pick. What do you do? Do you trade back with a team like Seattle, with a team like Detroit? Or do you go ahead and you take the best player available at number two? What you do?
It's a tough situation, man.
It's too early. It's too early.
It's early to predict. What I will say is this, though. I don't know if I'm as high on Jalen Carter as most people are. I think he's good. I'm not saying he's bad. No. Please, nobody take it that way. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm saying, does he change life? And whoever I get at that number one, two, or three spot, I need them to be able to change life.
An immediate game.
Yeah, you gotta be a game wrecker.
Game wrecker.
You gotta be an Aaron Donald, a Dominican Sue. You know what I'm saying?
And I don't see him being in that talent level. I think he's good. I think he's really good.
You remember the defensive tackle Fairley from Detroit? Nick Fairley?
Nick Fairley.
I think that's where he falls in that category.
That ain't a number two.
I think that's where he falls in that category.
That's
Jalen
a good
Carter.
If you're number two, bro, you Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
You Miles Garrett.
You a Dominican Sue.
You Von Miller, like you screaming off the edge. You something. I mean, for like pure talent, like I ain't a draft Nick, like, and I damn sure not even like right now watching college football just to watch it because I like it's fun. It's not a job to me. To I'm not watching the games and I'm like, oh, I'm scouting this player. No, I put too much energy in the Bears for me to focus on like college. I'm just watching the play. Now if a player is like damn good, like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Caleb Williams, I'm like, damn, that dude's like legit. Outside of that, bro, I ain't like paying attention no damn. It's like defensive line flashes, I'll be like, oh shit, that dude's good. But so I can't even say, bro, like, is there a left tackle? Can I draft a left tackle, the number two pick, and plug him and he there for life? Or is there a corner? Because I don't know. Is there a corner that is there Jalen Ramsey in like brand new dude that I can just put on opposite side of Jalen Johnson, put Kyler Gordon in the slot, and you won't throw to his side? Right. Do those guys exist? I know about what's his name? Will Anderson, because I'm a Bama fan.
Like, Will Anderson is tough, though.
He's an edge now. Is he the next Von Miller? Can he just wreck games? That's the thing, is that, you know what I mean? Like, I need somebody like that. Is he the next Michael Parsons? Can he play that role? You need somebody, if you stay in that spot, you need a game record, like a complete, like everybody knows it. This dude is the guy. If you ain't got that guy, somebody want a quarterback, you trade out of it.
And that's what I would say. I would say the Bears should trade down. Mm. I mean, you think about defensive tackles and where they get drafted in the league. Like Jalen Carter, he's going to be a good player, right? But like you said, he's not Aaron Donald. He's not, you know, John Randall. He's not one of those guys. You know what I mean?
And there are Tommy Harris.
They are few and far between. You know what I mean? So when you taking a guy like that, you better make sure that he's a legit stud. And if he's not that, then just move down. You can get him later on, or you can get somebody else that's close to him. You know, I look at him and think about like Quinnen Williams. Remember him? Remember he got drafted? He didn't have an immediate impact, but he's a good player, right? Mm-hmm. And he's a good player now, but he still doesn't have that impact like an Aaron Donald, right? You see what I'm saying? So it's like, excuse me.
Leonard Williams as well.
Yeah, Leonard Williams, exactly.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good, but he's not.
Yeah.
He ain't that. And on the interior line, there are a few Warren Sapps, Tommy Harris, You know what I mean? I can name them on my hand. Mm-hmm. As far as guys that were just legit bona fide. Dogs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tommy Harris. You know, Warren Sapp.
Dominican Sue.
Aaron Donald. That's about it. And John Randall.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. about it, man. You know, so you don't have him coming out every year like that. So if he's going to be that, then he needs to show up. And I don't see it from Jalen Carter as of right now.
And besides, as the Bears, man, you got to start drafting, investing in premium positions. You know, you got a wide receiver, cornerback, edge rusher. Yep. You know, those are left tackle. Those are like, when you pick that high, those are the guys you got to pick. And like I said, I'm not even educated enough to say we can draft this left tackle and he's the next, you know, Trent Williams. If there's a Trent Williams sitting at number two, bro, you draft him.
Right.
Because the offensive line needs help. I know people might be like falling in love with, you know, Braxton Jones. And he's a good. Nah, bro. If you sitting there staring at Trent Williams 2.0, you pick his ass. And you plug him in that left tackle, and you ride out.
Yeah, it's a bunch of Bears fan base that has fallen in love with the left tackle out of Northwestern.
I don't know how legit is he. Is he, like, legit?
I don't know.
Orlando Pace?
I don't know.
Is he Trent Williams?
He's an All-American, I know that. And he's definitely,
you know, like, that's what I'm trying to pick at number two. I'm trying to pick Trent Williams.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stick his ass over there, and he ain't moving for 15 years.
Silverback. Okay,
Silverback. You know, Jason Peters in his prime. That's what I'm looking for.
Absolutely. You
know, 15 years, bro. He the left tackle. We ain't got to worry about it. We got him and Tevin Jenkins. The whole line gets better.
Yeah.
Just by adding that guy. Maybe you add another one at free agency. Maybe you draft another one.
I think we've all come to the conclusion that what's my man over there that plays left tackle for us? I didn't even care to remember his name. Braxton Jones. Well, I think it's safe to say Braxton Jones will be designated backup duty after this season. And that's good for him.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good for him. He'll be a solid guy that you can put out there. You know, he's just not a starter. And that's okay.
I'm not going to say that yet.
Well, I wouldn't have him start next year.
I'm saying I would rather have a Trent Williams. Give me Trent Williams.
If you get a Trent Williams, of course. Of course. But if you can't, no, Braxton Jones will do. You know what I mean? He hasn't played bad.
No, he hasn't played bad, but, you know. We got more money now, you know what I'm saying? I ain't finna eat Spam when I can go ahead and get Filet Mignon, you feel me?
I want a guy. If I can't get an elite pass rusher. From this high pick, I want an elite pass rusher. I want an elite blocker. Or I want a straight lockdown corner. Or I want a bona fide number one wide receiver. Those are the four things I want.
Yeah.
From this high of a pick. You got to give me an edge rusher that's a complete game wrecker, that's going to get you 12, 15 sacks a game, that you got to double, triple like Nick Bosa. You know what I mean? You got to give me one of those guys, or you got to get me a Trent Williams, or you got to get me a bona fide X, Y receiver like DeAndre Hopkins that you can't guard. He just going to get open. The Waddle, freaking Hill, like you just can't guard him, or you got to get me.
I don't think it's a wide receiver like that in this draft.
It's probably not. So you skip over that to give me a lockdown corner. Give me a Champ Bailey.
I don't think it's a lockdown corner in this draft.
Bro. You know?
I don't think
that's what you got to get.
Yeah. I don't think it's a number one wide receiver. I think all of these guys are solid. But, you know, from what I've been seeing, wide receiver, everybody's high on the kid from TCU. All right. But I don't think he's a compliment wide receiver at the next level as a number two. I don't see him as a number one. You know who I see as a number one? Marvin Harrison fucking Jr. Dude is
coming out.
Dog.
That's next year, though.
But that's next year. That's next year. That's a true number one wide receiver, folks. That's a dog.
I'm going to say this now. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to come into the league. And I believe within 3 years, he's going to be the best wide receiver in the league.
I think so, too.
Yeah, he's a beast. Right?
You can see.
In the NFL, they're going to throw him the ball a lot.
Yeah.
In college, he gets the ball, but he don't get it as much as he's going to get in the NFL.
Yeah. And on top of that, I'm pretty sure his daddy done put him up on so much game. a lot of beat coverages. And you can see it when he's running his routes in college. You know, when he's even, he's throwing his hand up. He already has that connection with CJ Stroud. When he's even with me, throw it back shoulder. That's next level. Where he's so controlled coming out of his routes, he's easily, it looked like he's just coast, like a Cadillac, like a big body caddy. He's coasting. He ain't even burning throughout his as he's running his routes. He's so controlled because he know where he's going and he know what he's doing. He's losing DBs, and then when he catches the ball, he accelerates and hits that next gear. That's scary.
He got everything you need, bro.
Exactly.
He got the size, leaping ability. The catch that he made on the sideline, where he's coming down and incredible, bro. Body control. Incredible.
And I don't see a receiver coming out this year doing what he's doing. I don't. That's why I said it'd probably be a group of twos or slot guys that's coming out in this year's draft.
But you know how I feel about that. I can live with that. You get Claypool, he gets some chemistry with Justin, you get Mooney back, you add a guy in free agency, you draft a guy in a second, third round.
Right.
You can survive, but you got to fix that line. You got to get some pass rush, and you got to be able to block the rushes.
I know this free agency class is loaded on the old offense and defensive line. You know, most free agency class be loaded with wide receivers, running backs, tight ends.
But not pass rushers,
like
though. Pass rushers.
Pass rushers and offensive linemen is heavy in this year's free agency class.
Yeah. So, you don't get I'm talking about premium. I'm talking about tackles. I'm talking about like franchise changing edge. Those guys only. Von Miller don't become free agent.
That's
like,
draft.
Khalil Mack don't become free agents. You draft them and you trade for them. They don't become free agents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm talking about that level. Because we lost Khalil Mack. Like, people got to remember, I know he wasn't 100% the same, but he was a franchise edge rusher.
Yeah.
Franchise altering. You need to get another one. You got rid of him, get another one. Because unless you get another one, you're gonna be hurting, bro. You can't rush the passer, but it could be sit back picking you apart.
Hey, Roy, I know you wanted to go ahead and cook, man, so I'm going to let you go ahead and cook. I'm going to let you go ahead and rock out
man.
And take us home with this, with these Trevor Siemian mouth breathers out here. So I'll let you go ahead and do your thing, bro.
Bro, it was so many of them. Like, these fools, they couldn't wait. They bust their load, bro. They, like, you know what I mean? They hadn't gotten with a woman in a long time. Talked all this shit, and then as soon as they, you know, they just took their head in, they busted.
Well, Forrest Gump, hold on. When Forrest Gump touched Jenny leg, he was like, he looked over when she showed him her breast, he was like, sorry, Jenny.
Trevor Siemian completes a check down and they couldn't wait. They had tweeted that. Their Twitter fingers ready, bro. They were like, Trevor Siemian is a backup is a better passer than Justin Fields. And then some people try to convince you, like, no, you can still say that it's true. He's a better short. Yeah, because he ain't got no long game.
He had 2.2-second release.
No mobility. Trevor Siemian cannot create in the pocket. Trevor Siemian has a weak arm. So, yes, Trevor Siemian is going to sit back and wait for routes to develop and think that he can evade a pass rush. He know he can't. So, guess what he's going to do? He's going to drop back. He's going to be like, dump off.
Bro, did you see when he tried to run off that right side and got the ever daylights knocked out of him, bro?
Like, some dude was like, hey, well, you can admit that Trevor Siemian is better at the short passing game than Justin Fields. No, I ain't admitting shit. There's nothing in life that Trevor Siemian is better than Justin Fields at. Justin Fields chews bubblegum better than Trevor Siemian. He rides bikes better than Trevor Siemian. He watches TV better than Trevor Siemian. He wakes up in the morning.
He
with a
breathes
more positive
better than
mindset.
Trevor Siemian.
Than Trevor Siemian. He makes love better than Trevor Siemian. I don't know, but I'm assuming he does.
Probably a better child.
He's a better son than Trevor Siemian. He's better at Madden, Call of Duty, Pac-Man, Donkey Kong. I don't know, Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation 360, PlayStation 4, 1-5. He's better at everything in life than Trevor Siemian. Don't ever come to my mentions talking that bullshit because I'm going to block you. Cologne smell better. He dresses better. He's a better son to his mother. He will be a better father to his children. He's a better human being. He's genetically more gifted. Intellectually, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally,
He's just better at life. He's just better at life.
Don't ever say that shit on my timeline. He ain't better at him than nothing. Anything. Nothing. Especially on the football field. He ain't better at tying up his cleats than Justin Fields.
And Dan Wiederer, you idiot. You bumbling idiot. All right? He comes out there, and the first thing he got to tweet yesterday during the game was what? Chase Claypool got 51 yards receiving, in the first half or whatever it was?
Yeah.
And he only had 30-some yards in three games with Justin Fields. Well, he didn't say with Justin Fields, but the insinuation was there. Yeah. You know what he was talking about, right? You idiot, man. Just close your mouth, bro. Stop trying to pile on negativity.
Hey,
man.
What about the people? What about the people?
Feed off of negativity is this bullcrap.
What about the people that was super amped up after them first two drives when Trevor Siemian was out there? And I'm like, nah, give it a minute. I was like, hold on. They'll adjust. Yep. I was tweeting during the game. I'm like, they'll adjust and shut that shit down, as you can see. I didn't expect them to do what they did, but this will get shut down. You'll see. Yeah. It got ugly.
We don't have enough tape of Trevor Siemian in the NFL. Like, we haven't seen this guy play football. Like, what the hell is wrong with you people?
Man, what?
Justin Fields like breaking records.
Oh, the Bears came up scoring.
Nobody has done it in the NFL.
This offense is moving. They're moving the ball. And Trevor Siemian hasn't been touched one time. Like,
The Bears offensive line is amazing. It's amazing how good they are. He said his ass started getting blown up by four pass rushes.
It was like, see what happens when you talk too soon.
Yep.
See what
they
happens?
They can't help it. They can't help it, dude. Can't help themselves. They can't keep their hand out the cookie jar. They can't do it, man. As soon as he completes a screen pass, they're like, oh my God. Oh yeah, I want to get on the Packers fans too, bro.
Yes.
That damn Jordan Love, bro. Jordan Love throws a Christian Watson, who's been playing well, by the way. We get Christian Watson for shit, but he's been balling. He runs a shallow cross. He threw the ball 10 yards. He was wide the fuck open.
And he took it to the house.
Christian Watson did the rest. And they're like, oh my God, Jordan Love. Somebody said he's a better passer than Justin Fields. Threw the same damn pass to Damir Bird last year versus the Green Bay Packers.
What pisses me off, Will? What pisses me off? I had some Chicago Bears fans that was like, "Oh, just Jordan Love is the truth. He's balling."
Oh,
and I'm saying, "Hold up."
Prevent defense.
The first drive, prevent defense. 5 yard out. 5 yard swing pass. 10 yard pass in the air. A slant that he took to the house. He didn't do anything, bro. He didn't do nothing. But you got people that jump on. It's like, man, come on, man. Are y'all watching the game?
They're prisoners of the moment.
Y'all
bro.
Watching, man.
They're prisoners of the moment. They get caught up in, you know, whatever happened is the best thing that ever happened. They're imbeciles, dude. That's what I said. They're like the fossils coming out of the fucking ocean, formed in the fucking
crazy.
Whatever men fucking evolved from. That's what they are, dude.
It's crazy. I told you, it's hard dealing with some of our fan base, man. It's very hard. You say one thing, they want to take it and turn it into what it's not. And it's, you hate this. Look, man, stop. Your reach is far-fetched. Cut it out.
Yeah. I knew this season was going to be a struggle. I thought we lost a couple of close games that I thought we would win. Like, I didn't expect us to lose to the Lions. I expected to lose to the fucking Falcons. So, you know, I'm only off by a couple of games, but I didn't think this team was going to win more than 7 games, man. And I just saw it. I didn't expect the defense to be this bad, and I thought we'd win a couple of these extra games. But all in all, I didn't expect this to be a good team. And when you don't have a good team, you just get all these people with these dumbass takes come out from all over the place, bro. And that's where we're at. We just got people just saying the dumbest shit that you can ever think of. And unfortunately, everyone has access to the internet and Wi-Fi. Through the fucking advancements of man, so they can just post their dumbass fucking thoughts all over the internet for everyone to see. And then what happens is dumb other dumb motherfuckers be like, oh yeah, I think that same dumbass thing, and they fucking like it and retweet it. And then it seems like it's this fucking big ass group of people. No, it's a rare breed of fucking people that are just stupid and they fucking just retweet and like stupid shit, and they all kind of run in packs of dumb motherfuckers and just, you know, regurgitate the same dumb shit.
That's a fact. Trash ass tweet of the week. Y'all got one?
Man.
I'm pretty sure after this weekend, it's been plenty.
It's been too many, bro.
Yeah, it's too many. I don't even want to get into
too many.
It.
It's too many. I didn't want to get into
it. It run too much time.
People thinking Jordan Love out there balling, but we can definitely say rest in peace to the Green Bay Packers season, as it is officially over with Aaron Rodgers going down and being went down last night with an injury. As to Green Bay, we like to extend our greatest sympathies and tell you,
get the fuck out of here.
You at home with us, bitch, and you deserve it. You and only you.
Yeah, I want them to think Jordan Love is so good, so bad. I hope he. I know it's the verse of us, but I hope he looks good. I hope he looks good versus Jalen Johnson and fucking Kendall Vildor.
Oh, yeah, because you know Hicks. If he looks good, they're going to trade away Aaron Rodgers in the offseason.
And then they're going to get a rude awakening.
And then it's going to be awesome.
They're going to get a rude. So I hope he looks good. At least, I hope they lose. I hope the Packers lose, but I hope he at least looks good to deceive them. Because they just think, oh, he's just going to do what Aaron Rodgers did and take over for Brett Favre. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Be my guest.
Works out for you.
That's all I got, man.
Yeah, that's it, man. It's a wrap for me too.
All right, till next week.
Y'all take it easy, man. Appreciate y'all.
Take it easy.
Till next week. We out. Peace.